We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. A bad city, broken into bad. I'm over the bad. I don't see the hanging around a bunch of bad. I don't know bad, say bad, lot bad, do bad, bread bad, it's bad, much. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves a little Durban puff before bedtime in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, stupid. All my friends that come around, put the fudge party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What about the size of data, my brain spotted all over Manhattan. Should be check out. I think I might have caught something from Keith. Shadoobe. Yeah. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. I'm watching the end of this Nets 128-126 overtime lead over the Raptors in no sleep till. And it's under 30 left now in the overtime. Nets by two. Slim Reaper with the pill. Slim Reaper looking for space. He's got to shoot. One leg. Brick. But they get the offensive board. Duke. I've seen it all. And a foul. So Duke will go to the line. Like, can you imagine, like, what was, am I wrong? Like, this guy's name's David Duke, the player for the Nets. Is that not, like, the worst name ever? Isn't that the guy from, like, the KKK or something? Do you remember that guy?
Yes. I believe that is
not
same,
that is
the same name.
Same name?
Yes. Yeah.
What could be worse? I just couldn't. I'd be filing paperwork.
It's not ideal. I mean, unfortunately, that does happen to a lot of people. I mean, you know, the Raven broadcaster Jerry Sandusky. He's actually a G, not a J. But
right.
When people hear the name Ravens play-by-play voice Jerry Sandusky, they think, oh, Sandusky, you know, that's, you know, isn't that the guy at Penn State? So, you know, Jerry there in Baltimore has got to deal with that for the rest of his life. Kind of like David Duke there.
How about your boy David Duke, a young brother playing for the Nets, and his his name is the same name of the ringleader of the KKK. I've seen it all. I'm like, what could be worse than having that name? Honestly. I mean, to tell you, stop you in your tracks. So anyway, the Raptors should have won this game. They were up 120-117. No time left. The Nets tie it, send it to overtime. And, I mean, the Nets had this game. The Raptors had this game by the throat. And, you know, I won't deny that Durant played tonight. But nobody else, like, I never saw Harden in this game. He didn't play. And they had, like, Blake Griffin getting minutes. He fouled out. They got, like, David Duke playing. They got this guy Sharp playing. They have all their no-names. Like, all their best players are out. They had Patty Mills playing. He had a big game. I think Patty Cakes had, like, 29 or something. KD had 34, 13, and 11. The triple-double. And 8 in overtime. The Slim Reaper is just nasty. Welcome our radio affiliates to Farrell on the Bench. Your boy, the easy money sniper, getting an 8 spot in the extra session. I mean, they need a bucket right now bad. Can Van Fleet hit a 3-bomb? No, it's deflected. Oh, it still went in. Claxton deflected it. It still went in. It's a 1-point Brooklyn lead with 3 seconds left. Now, on FarrellOnTheBench.com today, Carver High, I bet on the Nets, and it was originally 8.5. I had the Nets winning and the Raptors plus 8.5 documented. And then you remember it shrank when the whole team, Aldridge, everyone on the team was out. Harden, all these guys, Bembry. I mean, literally, Johnson.
Yeah.
Their best players, all their most physical, violent best players and scorers were out of the game, except for Durant. And this was an opportunity. I said on Coast to Coast, run to the window, grab the five, and you're good to go. So right now they're down two with no time left in overtime. Half court shot off the rim. Oh, my God. Off the rim. Backboard and rim. And the Nets win it by two in overtime. So I get the double cover. But I did tell you today on Coast to Coast, bet on the Raptors. The Nets have nothing tonight. They're lucky they won the game with all their backups. Literally the end of the bench.
It was also a night where
Durant loved the win because they play with all these guys, Edwards, Claxton, Sharp, Duke, Mills, and Griffin, and that was it. And they won the game, and they had no business winning that game. I mean, the Raptors had this game in the bag. Half-court shot at the end to win goes off the backboard and the front of the rim, and they lose. Oh, what a way to go down. Speaking of going down, Steph Curry's third shot of the game went down. He's the all-time three-point king now, and he did it at the world's most famous. Tonight at the Garden in New York, not only did he break the record, he had a big game, and the Warriors wiped out the Knicks. So I just wanted to go over this. Game tonight, 131-129, the Nets win, and they did it with four rookies and eight players, and it was the only ones you've ever heard of are Durant, Griffin, Mills, obviously. Some people have heard of Claxton, but not many, right? Like, you really got to know the NBA to know who Claxton is, right? I mean, Carver High, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
All right, so they played Thomas, rookie, Sharp, rookie, Edwards, rookie, Duke, rookie, and then the other four. And nobody played. Brown, Carter, Bembry, Aldridge, Harden, none of them played. Like, seven or eight guys out of the lineup completely. And you get Durant with 34. 13 and 11, the triple-double. And then Patty Cakes, 30 points, including seven threes. On the other side, Van Vliet had 31, Trent 25, Siakam 25. It was a crazy game. I mean, absolutely crazy. I got to look at the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, it's 120 to 117 after the Gary Trent 24-footer, the three-pointer from Van Vliet. And then that was with 121 left. And you're telling me, so with 13 left, like a minute later, like over a minute, Patty Mills makes a 25-footer from Griffin to make it 120 apiece. And the game ended 120 apiece and went to overtime. And then in overtime, you get a Boucher game the lead, Toronto at two. Durant makes a 20-footer. And it's after Siaka made one, it was 124-122. Toronto was still up. Then Durant, another one, a 13-footer pull-up jumper, made it 124 apiece. Then Durant, again, a 17-foot pull-up from Griffin, 126 apiece, or 126-124 Nets. They're up there. Then Mills, a 16-foot pull-up jumper. They're up four. And then Trent, a 4-foot layup. It's a 2-point game. And then you get a Duke, couple of free throws he makes. And then Mills makes one free throw, 131-129. That's how it ended after Van Vliet hit a 28-footer. That was deflected and still went in. So they win 131-129. Crazy game. They had no business winning, and they still won. They got it done with their deep-ass rotation. I mean, they went deep into the barrel to get, you know, four rookies playing with four guys that you know, three you know, one you don't. I mean, it was literally three players you've heard of, five you've never heard of, and they won the game. An NBA professional game. They got no business winning that game. I don't care who they play. They could play the Thunder, and they would, you know, lose that game, Garber High. You play with three guys and then five nobodies, four rookies that have never played a minute in their life, and they win the game. I don't care where they played it, in Brooklyn at the Barclays. I don't care if the game was in my driveway. They got no business winning that game against a veteran team. There's not one veteran team in the league that would have lost that game, in my opinion. You know, when you play with a team with nobodies and rookies, and just to put a team on the floor because of COVID, and you still win, you got no business winning, but you still win. That to me is depth. That to me is we can play with five nobodies and still beat you. That's crazy to me. That is absolutely crazy. But a bettor's delight tonight hitting Toronto with the five. I got it at 8.5. It moved to 5 when all those players got announced they weren't playing. It should have been Toronto -5.
It actually got a little bit lower, even closer to tip, because once they said Harden and Bowen were out, so that was just after we finished Brown. I mean, once they had Harden and Brown out, that was a little bit after we finished coast to coast at 6 o'clock. So I think that even got a little bit lower than the 5. But honestly, that's an awful job by Toronto tonight. Like, that's an awful job. Like, I get it. The Nets still had the best player on the court. I understand it. Durant's all world, and he destroyed him in overtime, and that's still an awful job by Toronto. They got to win that game tonight. They just did.
I agree.
Awful job.
Especially when you got three guys scoring over 25 points, 25 or more.
Yeah.
You got Van Vliet with 31 and Trent and Siakam with 25 apiece. Name the last time those three had that type of night and they lost. You can't have three star players with 31, 25, and 25 and lose. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. All right, let's talk about Steph Curry. Did you see him hit the shot? His first shot was a deep three, and then he missed his second shot. His third shot was on the wing. He kicked out. He leaked out a little bit on a screen, and he popped out to the wing, and Burks was all over him, but it didn't matter because he leaked out so quickly and got the ball and just shot it, like falling away, deep bomb, wing three, and it was all in that splash. Boom, he broke the record. The place went crazy, the Garden. They stopped the game, and the guy literally hugged everyone from here to Hyannisport. I mean, he hugged everyone, his mother, his father, Alan, Reggie, every movie star. There were celebrities there he was hugging. I mean, he literally hugged everyone. I'm surprised he didn't hug fans like normal everyday Joes. All I know is they stopped the game for him. Later, he went over to the bench and hugged his mom behind the bench. It was crazy. The Garden was going crazy. They wouldn't even sit down when the game started. They just stood there and waited for him to do it.
Yeah, big moment for Steph. Finally gets it done. Everybody had all those crazy bets, all the sports books. Would he do it in the first quarter? But, yeah, he got it done quickly. Garden was nuts. I was kind of thinking about it tonight watching it all. Like, I don't know. I think that that it's getting probably a little overblown, the whole three-point record thing. Like, it was bound to happen. Like, everybody just – the game's changed so much in the last 10 to 15 years. Everybody's just chucking threes so much. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if, a bunch of guys from this generation are all in the top 5 or top 10 of that within the next 5 to 10 years. They just – the overload of threes now is just – it's crazy. So, yes, of course, you give him respect. It's a great moment. But I don't think it's as big a deal as a lot of people are making it out.
Well, so here's the deal. He did it in, 500 fewer games.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe it's 700 fewer games, something like that. It was 1,300 to 7 something. So whatever. And then the difference is that when Reggie Miller was doing it, they averaged five threes per game teams that would make five threes a game. And then when Ray Allen did it, it was up to 13 threes a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're averaging, they shoot 35 threes a game at least.
Right. So the volume is just, it's crazy.
Tonight, Ernie said on TNT, said, you know, Shaq and Ernie were sitting there talking with whatever, Jed and Barkley, that in 10 years it could be 55 a game.
Wouldn't stun me.
That they shoot 55 threes a game. So they talk about how much they don't like, big guys don't like the three ball. But the three ball is definitely a definitive part of the game now. It's all there is. At the high school, college, and pro level, everybody's chucking threes. And that's just all there is to it. All right, so the Warriors won that game 105-96 over the Knicks at the Garden, and it was easy money, easy pickings. I hit that game as well, betting. Curry had 22, pretty much layman's work. He had five threes. He needed two to break the record. He got that easily. And he was, but he really didn't shoot that well, 5 of 14. And on this whole trip, he's been shooting bad from three. I said last night, or maybe even today, on Coast to Coast, I don't know if I did or not. I thought I did. Like, I know I did last night. Like, at one point I talked about, look, I know they're 9-3 on the road. That's impressive. Fair enough. But like tonight, they looked like themselves. To me, tonight, they looked like themselves. Tonight, in the fourth quarter, they took over the game. They won the game, and they finished them off, right? But, you know, I think that this is not the same team away from San Francisco, away from the Chase, away from home. It's a different-looking show. You know what I mean? Like, I know everyone is probably in particular that way when they play on the road. The struggles are real, right? You play on the road, you lose games. And when you win on the road, it's the exception, right? And then you go out and let's say you have a six-game road trip and you're lucky if you win two games, right? Or you're really lucky if you go 500. If you go 3-3 on a road trip, that's like a good business trip, right? In the NBA or even the NHL. Would you agree with that, Carver High?
100%. If you're going on a long road trip like that, no doubt.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that their attack is not the same. Obviously, you know, to me, even though they have the record,
yeah,
fair enough, they don't look the same to me on the road as they do when they're playing at home in the Chase. Now, people would say, well, obviously, but I'm talking about this for one reason, is that in the playoffs, what are they going to do on the road if they're going to play average on the road? People are talking about them winning the NBA championship, which they've won many of them, we all know, but are they going to win the title if they don't win on the road? That's my point, because, like, do you remember how much of a struggle it was for the Bucks to, you know, like in the Nets series, if you remember, right? Am I wrong? It came down to Game 7. They won on the road. I was the only team that won on the road. They won one game on the road, and it was Game 7, right?
Yep.
So how are you going to win the NBA championship if you play average on the road? Now, people will say, oh, well, they're 9-3. They don't play average. Everything's different. They're not scoring as much.
The games are different on the road.
The games are different. Their scoring output's different. Their defense is different. The numbers are different. The productivity's different. Everything's different than when they play at home. And, I mean, it's painfully obvious to me. Like, if you look at the games that they just played, right, they beat the Pacers by 2. The Pacers suck, okay? They beat the Sixers, beat them 102-93, kicked their ass in Philly Saturday night. They beat the Blazers, but that was at home. So this road trip was Sixers, Pacers, Knicks. They got the Celtics Friday night, and then they're in Toronto Saturday night, and then they're long home Monday against the Kings, right?
Long road trip.
That's a long road trip. Now, they should beat the Celtics because I think the Celtics are ass. And, like, the Raptors tonight gave the Nets all they could handle, even though it was a poser net lineup. It was a poser lineup. But I'll bet you they give them a game in Toronto. I'll bet you they give them a game in Toronto. And then they'll go home and get back to business. They'll kick the Kings' ass. They got a game next Thursday against the Grizzlies. That'll be the game of the night. I mean, the Grizzlies are for
so
real.
When is that Boston and Toronto game? So they're playing Boston on Friday, and then when
Friday
are they playing Toronto?
Saturday. Back
he won't
to
play
back.
Saturday. He won't play Saturday in Toronto. Curry
yeah,
won't
he'll
play
take
Saturday.
Off.
Because he would have did that tonight if he wasn't going for a or maybe not tonight at the Garden. Maybe he would have sat him last night in Indiana. He likes to sit Curry on these back-to-backs on the road. He likes to do that.
There's no way he's playing both those games.
I agree.
And they'll lose one of those games. I won't be surprised at all that they play flat even on Friday night against the Celtics. You would think they'd beat the Celtics easily because I think the Celtics are worse than the Knicks. I think the Knicks are a 500 team, and I think the Celtics are a 500 team. But I think, I mean, they're almost the same, but I'm not impressed with either one of them. Like, last year's Knicks team, Carver High, was better than this year's Knicks team. It just was. And I said the reason they were last night is glaring to me is that their perimeter defense with Fournier and at the time, your boy, what's his name, that, you know, they benched Kemba Walker. Their soft-ass perimeter defense where they just – anybody can do whatever they want and you know, exceed the perimeter defense and get around it and go right, dribble drive, see you, bye. Break a leg, break an ankle, step back, do whatever they want. Last year, the physicality – I never realized it when I watched them. I used to think Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock suck. As offensive players, they suck. They're average at best. But as defensive players in the NBA, those are two rugged, tough brothers, right? You're gonna go around Reggie Bullock, my ass. You're gonna chip a tooth. You're gonna go through Elfrid Payton. You're gonna break a finger or a wrist. Something's gonna happen to you because those dudes play physical perimeter defense. So. Last year, no one could break that code. You couldn't break that line of defense. You couldn't break the barrier. You couldn't just dribble drive through them and get whatever shot you wanted. This year, you can do it easily. I mean, it's just easy. It's every guy, any guy, every night does whatever they want to the Knicks defensively. Like the other team's guards are able to get inside the perimeter defense in 5 seconds, and it's just good night, and then everything opens up. Once you get into the paint, you can go big, you can go three in the corner, you can go three on the wing, or you can float it in yourself. It's no different than Quickly doing it when he runs down and gets in and gets that little floater off, right? It's no different than breaking a zone. You break a zone, you get inside, you get into the paint, and you do whatever you want. It's about space, and if you can get past that defense, which the Knicks have none of this year, and Thibodeau knows it. Watch them. Just watch the games. They have no perimeter defense. Fournier sucks. He does one thing only, and he doesn't even do that well, and that's shoot threes, right? He's average at best, and ever since they got him, every night it gets worse for him. They just keep talking about, this guy's having a bad year. He's just not producing and not shooting well. And it's gotten in his head, and he's off. You know who he reminds me of? The guy reminds me of Landry Shamet, who the Nets had last year. And you know what he had last year? Just an enema bag year. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Now he's playing in Phoenix. The guy's hitting every three he takes. But last year in Jersey, he couldn't, he, you know, playing for the Nets, whatever, in Brooklyn, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And once you get to a point psychologically where you can't hit a shot and you're thinking every time you pull up, you're going to miss, you're finished. You're not hitting any shots. Another guy that has had that problem over the last 2 years, you know who I'm going to say, don't you? What guy has typically been a great three-point shooter and then became an absolute disaster shooting the three ball the last two seasons?
Danny Green.
That's right. I mean, boom, Carver High, right there. I mean, oh, was that a great, I mean, Wheel of Fortune. Danny Green. I mean, everybody's right there. Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, it was all right there. I gave you one question, you answered it perfectly. You win all the money. Danny Green couldn't hit the ocean from the beach for the last 2 years. I mean, he's awful. He's finished. And he don't even matter. Like, when he gets the ball in Philly, I'm like, this is awesome. I mean, it is. I mean, I am just making money because that guy can't hit anything. Fournier can't hit anything. Shamet couldn't hit anything. Once you get that, that, you know, bad vibe in your head that you can't hit a shot, and you're like cold, you're slumping, you're not hitting, and you're like, what's wrong here? I mean, you, there's stuff going through your head. You can't hit it. You couldn't even hit a free throw. You know, another guy that had it was Simmons. He can't hit a mid-range, a layup, a free throw, a three. Guy couldn't hit anything. He hadn't played since. That guy hasn't played since. He's a mental head case. Trust me. I'm telling you, that defense used to be physical with Bullock and Payton, and now they're soft as, you know, a strawberry shortcake. It's Pharrell on the bench. Go with us. Now I'm watching the Suns and the Blazers from the Moda in Rip City. And it's 32-23 Suns at the start of the second. And they certainly look better than they did last night when they played the Clippers in L.A. and got worked over 111-95. Prior to that, they beat the Celtics, blew them out, beat the Spurs by four, lost to the Warriors, and beat the Pistons. So here they are tonight playing Portland. In Portland, and they're up nine early in the second, and we'll see how this game develops. But what's amazing to me is how, and I've talked about this on both shows, to me, it's truly amazing how, you know, no one talks about the Suns. I mean, that is beyond staggering to me that no one talks about them. I mean, literally, do they? I mean, they talk about the Warriors, and I've heard plenty of, you know, certainly, I mean, just overkill Lakers, right? I mean, the Lakers right now are the six, and they get talked about, I mean, every day, everywhere, always. I mean, nonstop, they get attention. Like, I mean, for a team that's two games over 500, they get talked about like they've won five titles in a row. Am I wrong, Carver High? I mean, they get more attention than any team in the NBA. And meanwhile, they suck.
I mean, a lot of juice.
I mean, they suck. And, you know, and then I hear, you know, like Barkley said today, that the Jazz are going to win the West. The Jazz are going to win the West.
Yeah, enough with the Jazz. Like, honestly, Charles, like, get serious. I mean, do you watch the games, bro? Every single year, the Jazz win 55 games. They smoke everybody at home. They get into the playoffs, and what happens? What happens?
And they lose.
Every single year, they never get it done, ever. That they're now, they're like almost at the top of the list. Like the Bucks were there for a while. They finally got it done this past year. Now it's the Jazz. Until you actually see them do it, they will never do it. ever.
So they're 19-7. You got national hosts clamoring that they're going to win the West. And the reality is no one, you know, and I've even heard literally, and listen, I'm a fan of the Grizzlies. I like what Memphis is doing. I enjoy him. I like Ja Morant. I picked him to win the MVP. You know, he's not going to win the MVP because of Steph Curry and KD. But in my opinion, without a doubt, he's third right now. He's got to be third in the voting. He's unbelievable. He's not even playing, and he's unbelievable when he does play. But they're winning without him, right? They've gone 8-1 or something without him. That's insane. But they get more attention. They really do, than the Phoenix Suns. I mean, is it not amazing to you in some capacity or another that they went to the NBA Finals and lost to the Bucks and to Giannis, which is no joke? I mean, that guy is no joke. And Middleton and, you know, Lopez and Holiday and Connaughton and Portis, and it just goes on and on and on. Tucker was on that team. That was a loaded team. And the Suns were deeply talented and young and athletic and very good. And then they got beat. It is what it is. But have you ever seen a team go to the NBA Finals and play the way Booker did and play the way Chris Paul did and play the way Ayton and Bridges did and Payne and Cameron Johnson? They played that way. They played that way. And then they come into this year and they go, I mean, 21-5. Now, they won 18 straight games, right? And have you ever seen a team start the way they did with 18 straight wins off of a trip to the NBA Finals? They lost. That literally, have you ever heard anyone say a word about how good they are? I mean, other than, no. Oh my God, they've won 15 in a row, 16 in a row, 17 in a row, 18 in a row. People say all the time, can you believe how many games the Suns have won in a row? But have you ever heard anyone say that they're actually a really good team?
No juice.
They just say, can you believe they've won 18 in a row? And then once they won 18 in a row and lost, they finally lost, no one ever said another word about them. Once they lost after winning 18 in a row, they were finished. I mean, they are not on the tongue of anyone, are they? I mean, you have to admit it.
No juice whatsoever. Zero juice.
Well, that is because massive heaping amounts
especially
of BS.
In the Western Conference right now, they are in the back seat to these other teams. Listen, the Warriors and Steph's had all this going on. Warriors are back. Klay's almost back. You know, Warriors, great record. The Warriors are back. Then you have the Lakers who, even though they suck, Lakers always are going to get a lot of juice because, you know, they're the Lakers. You got Utah, who everybody loves to talk up. That's why they're not really in the forefront of the Western Conference because they've got a couple of teams, especially the Warriors and the Lakers, who are always going to get more juice than them.
Okay, well, the Lakers cannot beat the Suns. Okay.
No.
So that's not happening. So the Lakers
not four out of seven times.
The Suns
not four out of seven times. Not four out of seven times. They won't beat them. No,
they can't beat them. The Suns are better, fivefold better than the Lakers. They are. They're younger. They're faster. They're more athletic, and they got pure players that can absolutely school the Lakers. And that's all there is to it. The Lakers. No one likes talking about it. It's the dirty little secret that they're old. Old and slow, that's all there is to it. They cannot react. I mean, Carmelo Anthony couldn't guard a fly in his kitchen, right? So I'm telling you, there's no one. He can't stop anyone on that team. He couldn't guard one player. Not one. Even, you know, in my opinion, McGee, the way he blocks shots and the way he rebounds and the way he plays all out, like, lunatic fringe all out. Like, the guy's a maniac when he plays, right? You put Crowder and that guy out on the floor and Ayton, and they will eat Anthony Davis alive because Anthony Davis is cream puff city. Is he not? Like, that guy gets injured when he turns off his alarm clock. So I'm talking about guys that just absolutely go all out crazy to do block every shot and dunk the ball and finish and do whatever and play high speed. And Anthony Davis ain't that guy. He is not that guy. Don't even try to sell me that.
Look, he's an extremely talented player. We know that. A great player, Anthony Davis. But he's got two things that are a major, major knock against him. Number one, he's made of glass. I mean, the dude's made of glass. I mean, you breathe on that guy, and he's out for 2 weeks. Number two, he's got zero toughness. I mean, zero toughness. He does not want to play any type of physical game. You don't want anything to do with it. And some people call that soft. Some people call that whatever you want to call it. But he don't want to be involved in any kind of toughness.
Sugar. That's sugar. He's candy. He ain't violent.
Tremendous player, but no toughness.
You got to be violent. And now listen, and I said this before, and no one liked it, but they won that poser-ass bubble title they won. I mean, that's what that was. That wasn't even real. That was like everybody had the flu, and we're going to play basketball anyway and see who wins. No fans.
LeBron will tell you that was the toughest one to win. LeBron,
oh, my ass. That was a bubblegum title. I don't know what that was. That wasn't real. That year they celebrated with all their champagne and their banners. You can have that. That wasn't real. You never had to play on the road. You never had to play anywhere. You played in an empty arena in Orlando. Are you kidding me? You never had to go on the road and be tested. You just played every day in a gym. It was like rec league pickup ball is what that was. He didn't have to go up against anybody on the road in a hostile environment. I don't want to hear it. I don't even count it. You can have that all you want, Los Angeles. Keep counting your titles. All I know is that was phony. And then this, you know, who they are now is who they are. Last year they were embarrassing, right? And then, I mean, they were embarrassing. And he folded like a deck of cards. And then this year, who are they? They're nothing. They're nothing. So, I mean, they're nothing. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. And then they're not beating a good team like the Suns. Now, I get it that the Warriors are everybody's favorite flavor. Congratulations. I'm telling you, when they play in Phoenix, they're going to lose. And I'm telling you, when Phoenix plays in San Francisco, they're going to be the team that wins on the road. They're going to be the team that wins the game on the road like the Bucks won Game 7 in Brooklyn. The Suns have won. They know how to get to the final. And I don't deny that the Warriors know how to get to the final. I don't deny that at all when you win all those titles that they won.
Three guys do.
What?
Three guys do. They've turned that team over now. I mean, Steph, Draymond, and Klay do. But the rest of those guys, I mean, Wiggins don't know anything about that. You know, all these other guys, they don't know about getting to a final.
That's right. None of those guys. That's right. So fair enough. And that even furthers my point. Now, I don't deny Steph Curry's brilliance. We have to see Klay Thompson prove that he's still, frankly, Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Klay Thompson from 3 years ago is a far cry from the guy that's coming back with a blown out knee and an Achilles. Okay? So let's see what he's made of when he actually plays and gets burned and massive minutes. All I know is that I don't deny Green's defense. I don't deny Kerr. I don't deny that they can win. I'm telling you, that team in Phoenix, they won. They made it. They did it. And remember in the bubble, remember how many games they won in a row in the bubble to make the play-in game? You remember?
Yep.
That's when it all started, when they found their way and their confidence in Booker. And then you add Chris Paul to that mix and everybody else they got on that team now. They're dangerous as all hell, and they're better than the Jazz. And I think they can beat the Warriors in San Francisco. They're the team, in my view, still that stands out to me in the West. All these other teams, I think Memphis is a problem for anyone that plays them. They're going to be a problem. And I'm not even kidding when I could see Memphis and the Suns standing in the Western Final. I'm not even kidding when I say that, because I'll tell you what, the Grizzlies and Suns play 48 minutes of both ends of the floor, and they move the ball, and they're athletic, and they defend, and they run and gun and transition, and they play basketball at the highest level. And the Grizzlies play that way every night for 48 minutes. There's none of this Lakers taking a week off at a time. You know, the Warriors aren't the same team on the road as they are at home. The Jazz never win in the playoffs. There's none of that. There's none of that with Memphis and Phoenix. And you know what? I'm right, so that's the end of the discussion. Rolling a bit. So, quite the scene tonight at the Garden with the celebration for Steph Curry. I think Ray Allen gave Steph Curry the jersey that he wore the night he broke Reggie Miller's record. I think that's what happened. And he gets number 2,974 jersey. They had a special gift for him. Is that the number? Like, I think it's the two jerseys that, I could be wrong, that they wore to break the record. So they gave Curry a 2,974. I guess that's what it is. No, it's a jersey with the number 2,974. I thought it was like he got the jersey that Allen was wearing when he broke Miller's record, right? Like, that's what I thought it was, which I think would have been cooler than that silly looking 2974 jersey. You can't have a number on the back of a jersey, 2,974. I don't care what it is, right? Like, it just looks stupid. I just saw it. It looks stupid. But his record certainly isn't stupid. It's just absolutely unbelievable that he did it in the amount of games that he did it in. It really is unbelievable. The guy has had 7 seasons with over, I think it's 250. 7 times he's had over 250 threes in a season. Now they're talking about him having like 400 some this year, 400 plus threes in a season. So when he plays for 6 or 7 more years, imagine what the number of threes he's going to hit is between now and the end of his career. Some people believe it's literally never going to be broken ever again. We'll see. For all in a minute.